Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, June the 19th, 2026. Last Friday in the season of spring. Summer comes on Sunday, the summer solstice, June 21st, 2026. Matt Morgan joins us live in studio. Why do you always start touching things when the show goes? Why don't you touch things before we go on the air? We've been sitting here for 15, 16 minutes, and you never touched.
I was afraid he was going to touch me.
Oh, no. Well, already.
This headset is just a little finicky. So, like every time you, like, touch the cord, it, like, cuts in and out. So I was, like, turning it because it's, like, a bent at the end there. So, like, every time, like, Gwen put his arms up here and my headset was just cutting in and out. So I was like, maybe it'll work if I turn the cord. Oh,
we'll be off the air in a second, Glenn. Don't do anything with that. Glenn Coble's with us, if you haven't heard, in the studio. Former candidate for mayor, former candidate for House Rep in the 86th District, former candidate for Township Trustee.
Former everything.
Former host on this station, as a matter of fact, as we just celebrated the anniversary. Glenn, how you doing?
Except losing at everything, I'm doing fine.
No, you had a wonderful career in politics, did you not?
Am I done?
Are you on?
I don't know.
You said you're not going to run for anything else, didn't you?
Yeah, but...
I think you'll be swayed.
You never know.
I see you in the 6th Ward race next year.
No.
See, you are at large.
I know that last year before the election, I know Glenn said he wasn't going to run for anything, but then on air...
I don't believe it.
Yeah, but on air, I don't remember exactly what you asked, but he said that if somebody asked him,
you would consider
it. Yeah, it would take an awful lot of arm twisting, but he would consider it.
I will never say never, because I would be glad to do it if my party needed it and if America needed me, not that America needed me the last three, but if there was nobody running for office, I'm going to be there.
America is a finicky date. Remember that. Remember that. But I think you would run for at-large council. Okay. On that note, Glenn is in here tonight because he's got a big event coming up on July the 4th, the 250th anniversary of our country. Glenn, what's going on July the 4th?
Everything, it seems like.
Yeah, well, it is a big day.
Yeah, it is a big day, and I hope that everybody out there can figure out how to do their picnics and get out to the courthouse, because we're going to have our Citizens for Democracy and the Marion Democratic Club are all going to be there rallying for democracy. And that's what this is all about, folks. We're not protesting. We're not doing anything negative. We are rallying for democracy.
An upbeat event.
Very upbeat.
Celebrating the country.
And you tell me, and I'm not going to... No, I won't steal your thunder, but you're kind of thinking maybe the radio station can help us.
We're certainly for celebrating the country that day, 250th anniversary of the country.
Absolutely.
And so if it's an upbeat patriotic event, my gosh, we'll be there.
And we are upbeat.
Listen, as long as we don't, it's a fine line. It's a fine line. As Matt, were arguing before we went on the air. Go ahead, Matt, give your side of this.
Yeah, I mean, it still sounds like a protest to me.
Well, it's not. I mean,
it's not a protest.
How can you protest democracy?
Look, I asked what the difference was, and he said that a rally is upbeat, a protest is downbeat.
That's right.
I mean,
protest says no, rally says yes.
So
that day, wouldn't you think the signs would be more upbeat?
Our signs usually are. I don't know if you've noticed them, but I mean, they say they don't want two. They don't want kings, but
right.
Not upbeat. They're just not negative.
But I would think on this day, I think it would be an error to be downbeat that day. July 4th.
Not if you...
It's a protest, see?
if you want to state where you stand, I think you should be able to do that, up or down.
Oh, it's freedom of speech. Yeah. We're celebrating.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, I would think most people that day, if they are in support of the country, our rights as we know them, that 250th anniversary of the country, July 4th, I would think that would be a day, not a No Kings rally, that would be a day to celebrate all the great things that this country has done.
That's really what I'd like to see us do, is demonstrate for democracy.
Yeah, so there you go.
The name of our little group is called Citizens for Democracy, and it's because we're in favor of democracy as opposed to what some people are in favor of right now.
We'll talk more about this, but we got a lot of current events to get into
you
here tonight.
Sure do. You got stacks
I got
of
a
paper.
I'm telling you what, there's no lack of news here. All right, I want to get to this one because we didn't do this one this morning. The Obama Presidential Center opened to the public today, and there was a big celebration in regard to its opening on Wednesday. A lot of people watched it on television. Obama said in an interview, President Obama, former President Obama, he said, "I'm probably most proud of the tone that we set." And he also said in the interview, "Old folks need to get out of the way for things to get better." Former Presidents Bush, Clinton, and Biden and all First Ladies attended the opening of the Obama Library. President Trump put on social media this. He put the line, "The Barack Hussein Obama Library in 10 years when fully matured," and he put a pic of the library with a trash bag on top of it. So that's what the president had to say in regard to it. What do you make of what President Obama had to say there, Matt, and what President Trump's response was? A lot to unpack.
I mean, you know, I do think that maybe it's time for some of the people in Congress and in the Senate to maybe retire, you know. But I don't know. I mean, at the same time, I was pretty upset when Nancy Pelosi said she wasn't going to run again, because
I think that was a mistake for her to say
you
that.
You know. What?
I don't think he should have said old folks need to get out of the way get better.
No, I agree. No,
that's
no.
One of my pet peeves recently. For the last 2 years, they've been telling me I'm too old to be alive. And, well,
did your doctor say that?
No.
That's pretty rough.
People are saying we need the young people to support democracy. We need the young people
to step up.
I'm an old guy, I step up and I state what I believe about democracy, and it's all good. And I think old people are just as valuable as young people.
I think he was trying to twist the knife at the president.
I don't know.
We're
what
both
it,
the same age.
Huh? I don't know exactly the I don't know. But I do know that young people need to go vote. Young people do not vote quite, you know, as much as they should. It's still mainly the older generation.
You know something I found out about the Obama Library? It is the first, I believe the first, presidential library that will not charge admission.
Is that right?
I think that's fascinating.
That's good.
Well, yeah.
My wife and I have pretty much ceased to, we used to drive to California every year and used to drive to North Carolina every year because I have children in both states. And we pretty much decided this year we're no longer going to drive anywhere just because we're getting older and the car is getting older and my wife's getting older. I'm staying young.
And the old folks need to get out of the way, as President Obama said.
That's right. But we've decided we're going to go out to see
to the library.
To the library. It's less than a mile from where I worked.
Six hours away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can report back to us.
I will.
Yeah, do it. Take some pictures.
I might call you.
Call us from there.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. you won't have to pay any admission to get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's right. I like that.
What do you think, Matt?
Where is it at?
It's in Chicago.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's
yeah.
downtown.
They have the space for a presidential museum, but no stadium for the football
team.
Not
the Chicago Bears, yeah.
Well, they still have Soldier Field.
Yeah, why don't they just tear down the old stadium and put it there?
I don't because they actually I do know they wanted to build up like basically a new area, so they're gonna build the stadium and then around the stadium build a whole bunch of like parking garages and restaurants and hotels and make it like a kind of a commercial district.
They'll find a place.
No.
But
they already said they have not.
We're not gonna do that story anymore. We talked about that. The point is, Obama most proud of his tone.
What tone? I didn't understand.
That he set when he was president. That's what he's most proud of.
All the bombs.
Oh, the bombs?
Yeah, he liked the drone strikes.
You know what I find interesting, because there was a lot made of this week, because all the former presidents and first ladies were there, and
he did make a deal with Iran.
Yeah, but we'll get to that in a second. But you know, it's fascinating to me that people act. Maybe it's because he was the last Democratic president in office, but I really at these events feel for Bill Clinton, because I think on the whole. Now, again, people won't like, because people go crazy for Obama. He's like,
I do.
Yeah, yeah, and they think he's the
Isn't
greatest
he
thing
the
since
last
sliced bread.
Democratic president in office?
Well, Biden was, but.
Yeah, for four years.
Yeah, and he gets overlooked, too. Oh, Biden was at this. See, I forgot that he was even there. He was there as well. But in any event, my point is that policy-wise, economy-wise, getting things done wise, winning majority wise, Bill Clinton's got him in every category. But people act as if Bill Clinton is not a great president. And I don't quite understand the Obama fascination as far as good presidents go. Because even if you ask the common man who's not involved in politics, if you say who was the greatest president of your time, most will say Bill Clinton, who's not... if they're not hardcore Democrat or hardcore Republican.
I wouldn't. I would say Obama was, because I thought the mere fact that he won with the support of the American public, and he's a black man, I think that far exceeds anything that Bill Clinton did, except for with Monica Lewinsky.
Well, you've elucidated the problem.
That's the
problem is... is they see Obama as a first,
yeah.
So that is in Obama's camp, and Bill Clinton did have a scandal.
Yeah.
So there's that.
He lied about it.
Yeah, but again, if we're talking about doing the job, Bill Clinton did the job better. Now,
well, I don't know
what
he did
in his spare...
He did a very fine job, yeah.
Well, he won by bigger margins. The economy was in far better shape.
He isn't better. He was a white man. He's going to win by more.
Well, tell that to Joe Biden. Well, he certainly didn't win by more. And tell that to a lot of Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter didn't win second time around. And there are a lot of people who didn't win who were white guys. Mitt Romney, John McCain.
There's only been one black guy that did win. So, yeah.
Right. Which, again, but I don't think that makes you a great president. I think that just makes you a first.
I think he was... far more intelligent than many of
Obama
our
Obama was fine.
I don't think he was smarter than Clinton. Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar.
I'd have to look it up. But Obama had a lot of those around his name. You know, he went to Harvard and all that crap.
Nice guy.
I mean, you got
nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, you got Obama.
I'm not saying he was a bad president. I'm just saying the fact that people act as if Bill Clinton didn't exist and he's right there. The numbers are in Clinton's favor.
I'd have to go back and look that up.
Obama's got Obamacare. He got Osama bin Laden.
He had a lot of...
He did have a lot of good things.
Yeah, I mean, the gay marriage was legalized under him. I mean, yeah.
He didn't do that.
No, it was the Supreme Court.
Yeah. But if you look back under Clinton, economy, the last president that really crossed the aisle and worked with the Republicans... health care for children.
I think Obama would have, but he wasn't given the opportunity.
Yeah, I think that they just didn't work with Obama very well.
They said, he's a black Democrat. Let's not work with him.
I don't know if that's true, because they certainly hated Bill Clinton.
Now,
They investigated Bill Clinton from beginning to end with Whitewater and Monica Lewinsky and everything. I mean, the man was and his wife was investigated from top to bottom. For his 8 years as president.
I'm sure that was a good choice of words, but okay.
Well, from left to right, I don't care, whatever you want to say. Okay.
They
hated Bill Clinton because he ended 12 years of Republican presidents.
And they hated his wife, and I don't understand that at all.
Oh, exactly. She was great.
Well, again, I'm just saying as far as... And again, that they act like Michelle... is anywhere. Michelle is not even in Hillary Clinton's league.
I don't know about that, but...
She was the first lady.
Yeah,
no. She was a Secretary of State.
Yeah.
She was a senator from New York during 9/11. She was the Secretary of State when Osama bin Laden was captured.
We'd have to pull out the IQ test.
First woman. She's a first woman ever to get the nomination of a party,
but
major
not
party.
The first woman, black woman.
No, but I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I think Kamala Harris will actually be forgotten in history because of the way she got the nomination.
I do, too.
It was handed to her.
I'm afraid.
I don't know. I mean, I think it might just... I think that the Trump's second term is going to be looked back in history, and I think that you're going to get like the lead up to the election, and I think that for better or worse, her and Biden are both in the history books now.
Yep, they are.
In a bad way. Hillary Clinton was at an event this week in New York, and I forget the exact quote, but she said Biden running again was a huge mistake and a huge blunder.
Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
she should run for president again.
She doesn't want it. Every time she runs, people hate her. That's true. When she ran for president the first time in 2008 in the primary against Obama, all of a sudden people hated her. When she ran for president again, they hate her. When she's not president, people like her.
Yeah.
But she's not running for president.
For some reason or other, she's got the label of being a hard
lady.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure she's tough.
You have to be tough to be anybody in politics.
Putin was more afraid of her than Obama. Putin hated her because she went over and got right in his face and she said, "You're fixing these elections." She was the one who did that. That's why he did not want her to be president. He thought she would be very difficult to deal with.
Hmm. Probably would have. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a tough lady.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like to even judge one president against the other.
Well, neither do I, but I watched the opening, and
how else do you judge, I mean, who was good and who was bad? I mean, if we're not judging
Obama was fine. I'll give Obama some credit. I think Biden has really hurt his presidency by what he did.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But Clinton, he's up there.
What do you think of... I can't remember. It was his wife, I think, that said that she thought he was having a stroke during that.
Joe Biden.
During that.
She wrote it in a book?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
And my father had a stroke, and I watched that happen. And it does ring true.
But she said he was fine after. And she
didn't. My father
was fine after, too.
Okay.
He gave a.
Well, don't yell at me. I wasn't there.
He had a rally the next day, and he was fine, clear as day, perfect.
Well, too late.
Where was this guy during the debate?
But wait a second. What about Trump's social media post? The Barack Hussein Obama library in 10 years when it's fully matured. A picture of the library with a trash bag on it.
I love that they always have to throw Hussein in there.
Wow. Well, that's him. That's Trump.
If I had a child that acted like Mr. Trump acts, I would spank him. He acts like a really sour, sad child.
Is there a biography on, what's his dad's name, Fred?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there have been books written on Fred Trump.
And his father's father was apparently also a Fred.
You know anything about him?
He had some money.
And he was considered a very mean person.
Yeah, but he was his father.
Yeah, but like, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe Donald Trump's just got some kind of like, you know, mental issues going on right now.
Well, apparently he had mother issues, too. Now, she lived a long time. Mm-hmm. She was rather, dapper older lady.
And his father did have mental problems. He ended up with, what is it called?
Dementia?
Yeah, dementia.
Now, here's something.
The irony.
The irony of that. Here's something interesting.
What was that again?
What was the guy's name? People, a new poll, as they always are. People are, half the country. Here it is. Half the country now say they are independents, not Republicans or Democrats. What do you make of that?
Well, the independents are doing awfully poor at their jobs.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as independents, I guess the third parties are the quote-unquote independent parties. You know, the third parties are still vastly underperforming.
Well, that's why
I think somebody's lying.
This poll is exactly right. This has been the case for quite some time, I think. People hear the term independent and they think independents don't vote Republican or Democrat. No. What independents are those people who don't pay attention to politics and then they vote for the person they like the best. They're not voting Libertarian. They're not voting third party. They just will not align with a party because they vote both ways. And a matter of fact, as I've always said, if you look at presidential elections, I have voted both ways. So I would probably be considered an independent. I have not voted any straight party for any presidential election.
Right now, if you look at my voter profile, it says I'm a Republican. I voted in the Republican primary.
Yeah, but you voted for a Democrat for president last time around.
How do you know that happened?
Well, odds are.
I voted for Chase Oliver. You never know.
No. Glenn, what do you think? You think that's true?
I'm kind of that way, too. I've voted probably 80 to 90% Democratic since Nixon, and it was about 80 or 90% Republican before Nixon. I think that's right. I never think of myself as a person that votes because you're a Democrat. I just like the Democrats' policy better right now. It could change tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and then so I think most people probably are independent. So I didn't think this was such a shocking poll. Yeah. You know, I don't think people really fall into these. They try to make that out to be like a third party candidate should win. That's not what that is.
I think there are a lot of people that go to the polls that don't think. And they just pull the right level or the left lever. But I think thinking people think of themselves as independent.
Phone lines are open if you'd like to get in on this conversation. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Now, this was a story we really only got to talk about for a little bit earlier, but I think it's a big, big story. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine said Tuesday that the state should abolish the death penalty. The governor spoke at length about capital punishment during a news conference in downtown Columbus. "I believe Ohio should abolish the death penalty," he said Tuesday. "The legislature can take this action, and I believe they should take this action." DeWine cited data indicating that it takes more than 20 years between sentencing and execution. With a more than two-decade-long wait time and the threat of a death penalty date is simply not a deterrent, he said. "I no longer believe that the death penalty is a deterrent for murder." He also said certainty and swiftness are essential with capital punishment. For example, how likely will a defendant be convicted then executed? And how long after being sentenced to death will a defendant be executed? The governor cited another reason why he doesn't believe in capital punishment. "The moral justification I had for the death penalty no longer exists," he said. DeWine was a co-sponsor of the bill and also helped write the policy in 1981 that reinstated the death penalty in Ohio after having served for 4 years as a prosecutor in Greene County near Dayton. In that role, DeWine said he pursued no death penalty cases. "Of the 337 people sentenced to death in Ohio, only 56 have been executed. The odds are pretty good they're not going to be executed," the governor said. "The long, long wait time to see if the death penalty is carried out is frustrating and hurtful for the victims' families." He has also raised concerns about lethal injection, saying drug companies have threatened to cut off state hospitals if Ohio uses the drugs to carry out executions. And also, I had Governor Strickland, former Governor Strickland, and former Governor Celeste on the program on Wednesday, the day after this was announced. Governor Celeste said that the biggest regret of his gubernatorialship was not emptying the entirety of Ohio's death row before leaving office. And Governor Strickland said...
not emptying it as opposed to putting them to death or letting them out?
Letting them all out.
Yeah, okay.
Not
letting him off death row.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Strickland admitted he regrets the way he handled capital punishment while governor and expressed relief that he spared Jeffrey Hill, whom he to this day believes might be innocent. And he also called off an execution of somebody that it was not taking. And so people say that doesn't happen, where they try to inject you and you don't die. Well, that was happening, and Strickland stopped the execution after a certain amount of time that they couldn't get the guy killed. So, and Strickland called it the biggest regret of his gubernatorialship. So here we are. What do you think? And also, Governor Taft now opposes the death penalty.
My father, being a Methodist minister, brought me up to hate the death penalty, and I do. There's no recourse if you do it.
But irony that it's a Republican governor calling for the abolishment of it. Irony that it was one of the men who helped write and co-sponsored the reinstatement for it in 1981.
Yeah, that's fine. I like irony.
There you go. What do you think,
I'm
Matt?
I'm not good at it. I always get the collars wrong when I irony it wrong.
It's very difficult. You got to let that thing heat up. What do you think, Matt?
I think that the death penalty, as far as a deterrent for murder, is not effective. I mean, I think that the fact that there are still as many murders as there are is pretty self-evident for that. I'm pretty Texas is big on the death penalty. They love executing people over there, and I'm pretty sure they have one of the highest murder rates in the country, so, you know.
Now, one of the by the way, phone lines are open if you want to talk about the death penalty. One of the problems with this were how the current gubernatorial candidates answered this question, because DeWine's leaving in 6 months, and nobody feels that the legislature is actually going to abolish the death penalty. Most likely that's not going to happen. But a spokesperson on behalf of Vivek Ramaswamy, the Republican running for governor, said this: Vivek supports the death penalty only in the most egregious cases and applied only after the legal process has established absolute certainty on every element of the crime, the facts, and the law.
And who decides what the most egregious circumstances are? That's the problem all along. Who decides what's bad and what's not so bad?
I don't know how Ohio does it, but I know some states you have to have like 2 first degree felonies. So like, you know, like a combination of like, you know, like, I don't know.
Well,
like, what are first degree felonies?
Our
like murder and
has 34 of them, so we should
not first degree.
Yeah, no first degree murders, no. Or for first degree anything, no.
No murders.
No murders,
no,
yeah.
Murders.
So, but what do you think? That's not the one that shocked people. But Vivek, that he's for the death penalty. But I mean, clearly after the 20-year period, I mean, you would have to exhaust all your options, which is what he's saying. I don't think that's shocking that a Republican would be for the death penalty.
DeWine
was for the death penalty at one point. Taft was for the death penalty at one point, and Strickland and Celeste both saw the execution of people under their gubernatorialships. So does it? Vivek, I think that tracks with what a Republican candidate would say.
Like, they actually saw? Like, they went and they just, like oversaw.
Oversaw. They were governor. Strickland oversaw 17 executions. And Celeste, I'm not sure how many, but he, until January of 91, was before he commuted.
I interviewed Strickland back when he was down in southern Ohio, and I was a news person, and I always had the feeling he didn't like the death penalty.
Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah, okay.
But
he had to oversee the
It was the law.
Yeah.
Mike DeWine has just put a moratorium on it. Mike DeWine has never oversaw any executions. There's been a moratorium on the death penalty in Ohio since 2019. Last person executed was in 2018. Your governor, you can stop it. Mike DeWine has by putting a moratorium on it. Celeste stopped doing them, put a moratorium on it. You can do that. And Strickland stopped the death penalty of Jeffrey Hill. So
you're basically giving a pardon of the
death penalty.
But even just life in prison, right?
Yeah. But they can also allow it to go on, and Strickland did, Celeste did. DeWine hasn't, though. DeWine put a moratorium on it from the start.
Okay.
But, well, Vivek's answer, normal, what he had to do?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right.
I think if you would measure all Republican politicians, I would say the majority of Republican politicians would agree to some degree with the death penalty.
Well, here's maybe what made people angry was Amy Acton, the Democratic candidate. What she said was, as governor, my responsibility is to uphold and apply the law of Ohio. Given court rulings, I will respect Ohio's current moratorium. As governor, I will take a hard look at the death penalty and will listen to Ohioans on this issue.
Sounds like she's leaning in against.
Well, yeah, but I think it's shocking to people that every living Democratic governor, every living Republican governor, and the current governor have all said abolish, and she's not the Democratic candidate for governor.
We'll have to wait and see.
Well,
that's what she said.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess she's going to...
That's another Amy Acton answer.
It hadn't been put to her face yet.
Well, I think that was.
No, I mean, she hasn't had to really...
So you're saying she's being disingenuous to get in the office.
I might be saying that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I could believe what Glenn says. I mean,
I don't know what she's saying.
She's not saying anything. That's
she's
the point.
Kind of
I will take a hard look at the death penalty.
Yeah,
and
she's
then
skirting
we'll
around the question, yeah.
Well, because she didn't want to turn off people who are for the death penalty.
That's right. And in the state of Ohio, which is currently mainly red, and I would venture to say the mainly red states prefer the death penalty. I think she's kind of being insincere.
Exactly. And you know what? We have to call balls and strikes here. And on that, I think...
we do?
Well, I do.
Okay.
Well, on that one, I have to say Vivek, I think, gave an honest answer, and I don't think she did.
I might agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's probably about right.
Yeah. Well, and she made Democrats angry again this week.
She likes to do that, apparently.
Well, poor lady. She appeared on... you might have saw this, Glenn, because you like MS Now, right? Yeah. Did you see her on MS Now?
No, I didn't.
Tuesday, she appeared on MS Now's The 11th Hour with Ali Velshi, where she discussed the state of the race in Ohio and impacting everyday Ohioans. Now, here are some of the things that she said. That
I automatically turned that off, by the way. I didn't want to hear what she had to say. I really didn't. I don't know why.
Do you dislike Amy Acton?
No, I do not. But my wife and I sat there and we said, we don't want to have to judge. So... we turned it off.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Okay. A hardcore Democrat doesn't want to watch Amy Acton on the 11th hour?
I don't like to watch. No.
Why is this?
Oh, we didn't want to have to judge against somebody we're going to vote for.
Well, here's what we're going to do here. Okay. Here are some of the quotes on that show that kind of tick people off. She said, I've been traveling the state of Ohio now for 2.5 years, going everywhere, listening deeply, quite frankly, going to places Dems haven't been in a while. Everywhere we go, we see record crowds of people showing up. It doesn't know party, and people are feeling the effects of these policies. They're working harder than they ever have, and the cost thing is just not adding up. And they're exhausted of the hate and the chaos and the vitriol of being pitted against one another. It is definitely time for a change, and you can feel it. We're seeing record crowds of people. We had a record primary turnout. We had more votes for the race for governor than either side of the aisle in Ohio's history, and I didn't have an opponent, which is a weird thing to say. But so this is an exciting time.
Primary.
The last two quarters, we actually outraised Mr. Ramaswamy, a self-funding billionaire. And this is the quote that really got the Democrats all upset. My constituency doesn't seem to know party. I'm not a partisan person. I'm a public servant and a problem solver. A lot of peeves.
I really think that's the reason why my wife and I decided not to listen. Because we're kind of that way, too. We're kind of... tired of listening to the negative thoughts of the politics in Ohio.
Yeah, but do you know what she was saying there?
Kinda.
Well, what do you interpret that to mean? She's the Democratic candidate for governor, and she's saying, I'm going to places that the Dems haven't been in a while?
And she's right, because the Dems haven't been a lot of places in Ohio.
She calls them the Dems?
I have no problem with calling them the Dems. It's
if you're the Democratic candidate, she's not listen, this woman...
It's so much simpler than saying Democrats. Dems
are just faster.
She's
out of breath? She's out of breath or something?
It's just, Dems is just faster.
It's just a shorthand use of the word Democrats.
Okay.
I don't think it's a slight.
My constituency doesn't seem to know party. I'm not a partisan person. I'm a public servant and a problem solver. Well, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not sure that she's proved that yet.
Well, I don't... My constituency...
And I don't think she can until she gets the office.
Her constituency doesn't know party. So again, I'm not... The Democrats are not... The Democrats and the Republicans are supporting me is what that means. And then she says, I'm not a partisan person. Well, that's... I'm not a Democrat.
No, it just means she doesn't support...
Everything the Democrats support.
No. It doesn't... She doesn't support the Democrat... or the... political choice. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't support Republicans or Democrats.
Right.
She probably would be a good liberal. A
libertarian.
Libertarian.
Right.
But
that's what I'm saying.
But she's not a libertarian.
Right. But you can't be the Democratic candidate for governor and say I'm not a partisan person.
You can say you're not a partisan person, but you can't say your politics are not partisan because they are. You're a Democrat.
Well, she says she's not.
No, she says she's not a partisan person.
Right.
That isn't the same thing.
As what?
As saying, now you got me confused.
Well, I think she's confused. I think this was a bad interview. I think she should not have. Maybe this is why the lady doesn't do interviews.
Well, she doesn't interview well.
No, she didn't. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I think she's kind of is throwing the... I don't think that the Dems is a slight, but I do think the fact that she said that she's going
to... Well, the way she said it, quite frankly, going to the place the Dems haven't been in a while, that's a little slightish toward...
That's a shorthand for Democrats.
No, I'm not saying the word.
The quote as a whole... The quote as a whole is definitely a slight.
She's saying, yes, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to the place that the Democrats have abandoned,
basically. That's what I've said.
That's Ohio.
But now that's not true, though, because...
Have you looked at the how many people voted against me?
Do you think Sherrod Brown didn't go to these places 2 years ago? A man who was in that office for a long time.
And he lost.
But he went there. Well, she's saying they haven't gone.
Which, I don't know. That's one person. We don't have a whole lot of Democratic...
Rich Cordray went everywhere. Rich Cordray was in Marion, Mrs. Acton.
That was a
You ain't been in Marion.
Rich Cordray was a long time ago right now.
8 years. Yeah. Two governor races ago. Not a long time ago in politics.
Okay.
Where have you been, Dr. Acton? Where have you been? She hasn't been to Marion.
Does she have ads out? I haven't even seen any ads. What's she been doing with her money?
I don't know, talking about it. I don't know. I think this was a horrible interview. I don't know what she was even saying. She didn't say anything.
I don't think she interviews well. And for a lady who happens to be a doctor of medicine, it's hard to imagine that you...
Well, I think... But why didn't Ali Velshi follow up on... I can guarantee if she gave that answer to me, I'd say, you're not a partisan person. You're the Democratic candidate for governor. Are you a Democrat?
Well, again, I don't think that she is, that you don't have to be a partisan person to... You threw me off again. Never mind.
The former head of the Democratic Party, by the way, when Rich Cordray ran for governor, is her running mate. The former chair.
Right,
so what kind of statement is that?
David Pepper's pretty good. They should let David Pepper...
She won't come on. Yeah. She came on once and... Now she's on with Velshi. She'll never go on with Velshi again.
What's David Pepper up to?
I don't know. I think these are clearly she's trying to appeal to Republicans and Democrats because she doesn't feel the Democratic Party can put her over the finish line.
I'm afraid I agree with her. It's kind of tough for a Democrat to win right now.
But you can't say that. That's very... I'll tell you what. Rich Cordray would not have said that. Nan Whaley would not have said that. Ted Strickland would not have said that. Dick Celeste would not have said that. Mary Ellen Withrow would not have said that.
We'll have to ask Mary Ellen.
I did on Wednesday.
Did you?
Yeah. She kind of...
Yeah. I can see her kind of.
Yeah. Well, because she supports Acton and she doesn't want to knock her. But she also, I don't think she was a particular fan of that statement. What do you think, Matt? What do you think when we asked Mary Ellen on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah. I mean, she was just kind of... I mean, basically, I feel like she just kind of did the same thing that Amy Acton did when asked about the death penalty thing. I think she just kind of, she just kind of said, well, she did what she had to do.
Right. And I mean, clearly she's trying to win Republican votes. Good for her. You know, that's what I guess she got to do. But there was a smoother way to do that than what she did.
By far, yes.
Yeah. And I think it probably won't allow her near a microphone for a while now.
No, they should let her talk more.
I don't think the "they" in that sentence has anything to do with it.
Well, I don't think she's running that campaign. I
don't know. He also hasn't been doing anything.
He's got commercials out there.
If I were running for that office, nobody would tell me what I could say and what I couldn't say.
Oh, she's being handled. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, probably. I believe
that's why I'm not getting elected. So,
hey, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, people, I just, for whatever, Vivek is definitely coming off more authentic. It's just too bad that the Republicans don't like him.
Oh, and I think he is slightly down in the polls, isn't he?
He is, but, you know, what is that about?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Polls don't mean crap right now, apparently.
No, DeWine was down in the polls on Election Day, and he beat Cordray.
Yeah.
So there you go. I don't know, though. I just wonder about her sometimes. When she does things like this, what does that mean?
We're not smart enough to understand.
I think that she's just dancing around. I don't think she wants to say anything. So she's saying basically nothing just by... She's using, she's just dancing around the questions.
But I think this is why the Democrats haven't won in a long time, is because what they do is they think they're going to win. So they think, let's play it as absolutely safe as we can. We don't want to turn anybody off, when they're actually not as far ahead as they think they are. And because they don't say anything, they don't convince anybody. And on election day, they end up losing.
I do think that the polls, for some reason, undercount Republican voters. I mean...
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it happened in the presidential election.
Happened with Cordray in 2018.
On the other side of that, having run for office three times and lost three times rather soundly, I told people exactly what I thought, and that certainly didn't help me any.
But would you say I'm not a partisan when you're running as a Democrat?
I would say that I'm more middle of the road.
I would just say I'm willing to work across the aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't...
I'm willing to work with my Republican compatriots.
I wouldn't measure what I said. I don't know until it happens what I would say.
Well, you're supposed to think about what you say and then say it.
No, I don't do that.
I don't know.
Tell from the heart. Tell the truth from my heart.
So this week, she sort of had a bad week with the Democratic Party, with the death penalty remark, and then with this, and so on and so forth.
I always thought people wanted honest people as their politicians, but obviously they do not.
But is she being honest?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, there you are.
Well, I mean, she's not really saying anything, so I guess she's not being dishonest either. She just kind of dances around the questions using,
That's what all our politicians have done for years.
Well, I'll tell you, though, bravo to Mike DeWine, because he's certainly not saying what his party wants. Now, there, I believe that is what he feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he has any other reason to say it. I mean, you know, the death penalty is a Republican stance. I mean, I think if he was for the death penalty, unless he was, like, throwing the only thing I could think of is if he's trying to, like, throw the election for Vivek. But I don't see that.
No, I don't see that either. I think it's a very brave thing for him to do. A lot of people will dislike him for it. But I think Mike DeWine is trying to get stuff done before he's out.
Well, more power to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He's also said sports betting is his biggest regret.
As it should be.
Apparently not the death penalty, but, he didn't kill anybody.
I hate sports betting.
I agree.
So, DeWine, this is why I don't get why... Why do the Republicans not tout DeWine? I think he certainly one of the most successful politicians in Ohio history, and a successful two-term governor.
The first energy ties kind of bother me.
Well, everybody's got their picadillos, but I'm saying this man
is taking bribes from First Energy.
I don't know that Mike DeWine did.
I mean, he certainly appointed a lot of energy people to boards that they probably shouldn't have been on.
Well,
that's how you get the money, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I mean, Houston has all kinds of First Energy ties.
I don't think.
I mean,
the candidate knows.
He had meetings with the First Energy guys. I mean, come on, he knew.
I mean, but you know what those probably were?
They asked DeWine's chief of staff.
They asked to meet him.
They asked DeWine why his chief of staff didn't tell him about the money from First Energy, and he said, I don't know, ask her. Like, I mean, yeah, you definitely knew.
Well, why didn't they ask her?
Maybe she wasn't giving interviews at the time.
Well...
If I was caught up in a First Energy scandal, I probably wouldn't be giving interviews.
But if she could have thrown the governor under the bus, I'm sure they won him. That's why I don't believe Mike DeWine is tied into this. He's the big fish in it. And if somebody could throw him under the bus, the Democrats would go for it, and so would the prosecutors. If they had a tie at all to Mike DeWine to any of this, you can bet would be all over him.
He had meetings with the First Energy people.
But again, I don't think you understand
records. I mean, I don't know what else more.
You got me talk. The point is again, people like that, lobbyists, want to meet the candidate. But they don't go in and say, hey, I'm blah, blah, blah with First Energy. You're going to appoint so. That doesn't happen with the candidate. That happens with the staff who are taking the money. You don't walk in and just hand a wad of cash to the candidate.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Maybe some people do.
But I don't believe Mike DeWine. I believe people like Larry Householder knew. I believe there's a good chance...
He took $60 million.
I believe Husted probably knew. I believe that there's a good chance DeWine's chief of staff knew. But I don't think he knew. I don't think... But when you are the guy...
I don't know.
You're not...
Glenn, do you
believe that the man running for governor is having these conversations? He's probably saying, keep me away from these conversations.
I hope he isn't saying that, but I bet he is.
Exactly. Keep me away.
But I hope he isn't.
We did a whole show. By the way, listen to this on Facebook. It's on YouTube. Search Scott Spears Exchange Mary Ellen Withrow. And listen to Wednesday's episode. Mary Ellen is talking with a man who ran two of her state candidates. And there were meetings that went on that she was not aware of to this day that went on with her campaign. And what was, I asked Greg, I said, how can that be that Mary Ellen doesn't remember these meetings going on? He said, well, she didn't know. We didn't tell her. She was out campaigning. That was her job. Do you not remember this, Matt?
Yeah.
And they were heavy duty meetings.
All I'm saying is, if
that's a shame.
I don't know.
Well, it's true though.
Like,
I agree.
I don't know.
Said they ran a whole ad that she didn't really approve because they knew she didn't like negative campaign.
I think
I would have flown off the handle if something.
Well, they also went to like the elections commission to make sure it wasn't like, you know, too underhanded, and you know they took extra steps that most people wouldn't take.
But they said she was too busy. You couldn't go to her because she was running for office and running the office.
Yeah. That's the problem with politics right now.
I would have fired my chief of staff. Right.
And there was I don't want to ruin the episode, but listen to the episode and listen to the conversation when she was going to run for governor that her staff had with the Democratic Party. And she knew nothing of this meeting that had ever happened until the other night when we're going through. This is 35, 40 years ago.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger thinking about running for office, I was told, well, you'll have to get approved by the Democratic Party. And I said, BS, I'm going to just run. Well,
you say you're not a partisan.
I lost.
You lost. Well, by the way, we got a whole another hour coming up here, but do want to plug this. The big rally for democracy is coming up on July the 4th from 12 to 2 down at the courthouse. Big, big, big event.
We'd
positive.
Love to have everybody there.
Definitely not a protest.
Yeah.
Not a protest.
No, it's a rally for democracy.
That's right.
Positive.
Is. Yeah.
Celebrating the 250th anniversary.
Unless you think democracy is not positive.
No, I'm just saying Matt seems to not see it that way. I'm just trying to clear it up for everybody. Clarity.
I'm not going to explain it to him.
I'm telling you, there's going to be pickets and it's going to be a thing.
No, there's not going to be pickets.
No, there
not pickets. I mean, it's not a
picket.
It's not a strike.
Coming?
Yeah, have you ever seen a picket at our? At
I have.
Our
Linda Sims Pickett comes in here every Thursday. No, we're gonna break. We're coming back with Glenn and Matt right after this. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to Place for the Best Guests and Talk from Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't. Can you do something in the?